join me in 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings in chapter number 4. Second Kings chapter number 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. Second Kings chapter 4, verses number 1 through 7. And now there cried a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you would please bless our time. You've already blessed it, but Father, we ask that you bless the reading of the word. The most important time of our morning, of our day, is, Father, you speaking to us through your word. Father, I ask that you would guide us according to your will. I pray our hearts would receive the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, that you would anchor us and guide us through your word. Father, I ask that you'd speak to the hearts of the children as well. I know that they're practicing a song and then they'll come back in. I pray, Lord, that you would open up the hearts of the children just like you did in Sunday school, teaching them, Lord, the Bible lesson. I pray that the word of God would take root in their hearts to obviously bring forth salvation. Lord, that they would enjoy a life walking with the best friend that they can ever have, and that's Jesus Christ. Father, would you help us as adults to continue trusting him, continue following Christ, continue allowing Jesus to work in our lives and through our lives. Thank you, Father, for the life you've given us through Christ. Thank you, Father, for the bright future that we have, a home called heaven. Lord, we don't have to worry about what's going to happen when we die. We know what's going to happen. We're going to enter into those glory gates. We're going to enter into heaven and be in your presence. And we thank you, Father, for that. But thank you for your presence that's with us even right now. I pray, Lord, that you guide us through the scriptures, and you speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to draw closer to you, and as always, that you would be glorified in everything that's said and done. For it's in Christ's name we pray, amen. You know, as we look at 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a woman whose husband who has passed away, and many have experienced in their lifetime a husband or a spouse that has passed away, and they have felt alone. They felt like their world has been turned upside down. My wife was sharing with me a story. I believe the couple had been married, was it 79 years that you were showing me? Was it 79? About 79 years. They were in their 90s, correct? Right? Well, they both were in their late 90s. She did not want the husband to call the doctor. She didn't want to go to the hospital. She just wanted to stay home and take her last breath in her home with her husband. There was a picture of her laying on the couch. The husband's knelt down behind her, holding her hand. And you could just see the love that they had for each other. And she passed on into glory. No doubt his heart ached for that relationship, but knew right where she was at. You think about this woman here that we don't know her name in 2 Kings chapter 4. She comes to the man of God. She comes to Elisha because her husband has passed away. He's one of the prophets, sons of the prophets. No doubt someone who was serving the Lord, being used of God. The Bible says she testifies he was a man that feared God. But she has a dilemma in her life. Something has happened. Not only has tragedy struck her home where her husband, the father of her sons, has passed away, but now she has a creditor that's coming. He's going to take her sons. And she has no one to provide for her. We don't know how old the sons are, but if they're going to be taken, they're obviously not, they're not adult sons. They're still children, and they're going to be taken away from her. But she does something that all of us should do, and we'll go through the verses, but she goes to the man of God who was the spokesman for God in those days. You and I can go directly to the throne room of grace. But we do at times, you know, it's nothing wrong going to the pastor or going to someone else and asking for prayer and asking someone to join you in prayer and seeking wisdom and seeking counsel in what to do in your life. But when you think about Elisha, I want you to think about who Elisha is. Elisha was the predecessor to Elijah. He was Elijah's servant. He was someone that was being trained by Elijah. Elijah was a great man of God. If you remember, Elijah was the one that went up to Mount Carmel. There was a great drought, 3 years of drought in the land, and he went up and he called all of God's people together. He called the prophets of Baal together, and he said, you know, serve who the real God is. If Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, serve him. And you remember that account where he rebuilds the altar of God on Mount Carmel. He puts the stones in its place. He puts the wood in its place. He takes a bullock, puts the bullock on the altar. And he has a trench dug around the altar. Water, several pots of water is poured onto the sacrifice, drenching the sacrifice, soaking the wood, filling up the trench, so much water. And if you know anything about making a fire, you never choose wet wood. You always choose the right dry wood. And in this past winter, I had some nice fires in the house, and just because we had some real nice dry wood, and it was real good. But you think about Elijah being on Mount Carmel, he doesn't strike a match, but he calls upon God to send fire because he wants God's people to be turned back to God. It was in a time where God's people had turned their hearts and their backs on God. They were serving false idols that could not help them, false idols that had eyes but could not see. They had ears but they could not hear. They had mouths but they could not speak. These stone statues that they would serve, they had arms that could not help them. And Elijah's heart was for God's people to turn back to Jehovah, back to the true, one real living God. And as fire came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice, it testified of the fact that Elijah was truly the man of God. He was the spokesman for God. And later, Elisha is serving alongside Elijah. And Elisha knows that Elijah is about to go to heaven. Elijah says, "So I'm going to pass on. The Lord's going to take me." And Elijah asked Elisha, "What would you have me to do for you before I leave? What do you want?" And Elisha says, "I want a double portion of your spirit." He wanted a double portion of the Spirit of God that was upon Elijah's life. And Elijah said, "You ask a hard thing, but if you'll see me when I depart, it'll be done unto you." And on the day that Elijah departs, you read in the scriptures, and a fiery chariot comes and separates Elijah from Elisha, and Elijah goes up to heaven in a whirlwind, as the Bible tells us. And Elisha does receive a double portion of Elijah's spirit, the Spirit of God that was upon him. Because really, that's what you and I need in our life, is the Spirit of God. And if you're a child of God, you're born again, you've asked Christ to be your Savior, you've got the Spirit of God in your life. The Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of God's children that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It is a testament of the fact that we are saved eternally. We are the children of the King, and we can never lose our salvation. But Elisha, this Elisha here in 2 Kings chapter 4, is the man that has a double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. And this woman comes to Elisha. She comes to the man of God because, again, he's the spokesman for God. He's the one that tells the people the word of God, speaks to people. And she comes to Elisha and lets Elisha know that my husband has passed on, and the creditor is coming to take my sons. And the title of the message this morning is, "What Shall I Do for Thee?" Elisha is going to ask her that question in verse number 2, what shall I do for thee? But just think about her dilemma. We all have dilemmas in our life. We all have dilemmas in our life at different times. Your dilemma will be different from my dilemmas. No doubt this morning, our dilemmas may not necessarily be the same as this woman where her husband has passed on and her sons are being threatened that the creditor's coming. I mean, there's a debt to be paid, and in that time, children were taken to work off the debt, to become slaves, to work off the debt that is owed. Now today, our children should be thankful that when we owe MasterCard or Discovery or American Express or Visa any money, they don't come after our children. We don't give our children to them to work off the debt. But when you think about her dilemma, she has a dilemma that there's nothing she can do about it. All she can do is go to the man of God and hopefully get some help. And when you look at verse number 2, we see that Elisha will give her two directions for her dilemma. In verse number 2, Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? That's a good question. She comes to the man of God and asks, what shall I do for thee? Now, for you and I, we go directly to the throne room of God. We go to the throne of grace. As Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. She went to the man of God who she was supposed to go to. You and I, we have the privilege of going to the throne of God, taking our requests, taking our dilemmas, taking whatever it is in our life that we're facing and taking it straight to God. And we have the same question posed to us, what shall I do for thee? You know what? God wants to work in our life. God wants to help us. God wants to help us through the dilemmas that are in our life, but we have to come to him. She came to the man of God and she hears the question, what shall I do for thee? What is it that I can help you with? What is it that you want to be done? I want you to think about, as I even read Hebrews 4:16, we need to come boldly unto the throne room of grace. You need to go to the Lord with the dilemmas in your life, but also remember God's always ready to help his child. What shall I do for thee? That is a statement that I'm ready to help you in this situation. Why is it that sometimes people don't take their prayer requests to God? Because they don't think God will help them. Have you ever had the thought, I know God can, but I don't know if he will? I've had those thoughts in my lifetime, and God has always been faithful to provide. He's always been faithful to help. Because remember, God cannot deny his own faithfulness. Now, people will only be faithful if they get something in return. Employees will be faithful as long as they're getting a paycheck and even maybe a raise as well. But God cannot deny his faithfulness. His faithfulness does not depend on whether we do right, whether we're faithful. He's always faithful. So when you think about this woman coming to the man of God, she knew she was going to the one that could give her some direction. And you and I know that we can go to the one who will give us the right direction. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is, God is always with us. He will always provide for us. He will always help us. He will always protect us. He will always guide us, because we are his people, and more specifically, you are his child. So God's always ready to help us. What shall I do for thee? Not only is he willing to help us and always will, but he always goes above and beyond what we ask or think. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the power that works in us is the Holy Spirit of God. It's not us, but it's the Spirit of God in us. And that's the power that God uses, his own Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. But notice, he says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Again, God's not limited to what we think. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are greater than our thoughts. Our thinking is limited. We think, oh, you know what? God can maybe do this. I know that God saved me and he can keep me saved, but I just don't know if he can provide a way out of my dilemma. Again, this woman had a dilemma. Her husband was no longer around. She does not have a provider. She can't do anything about her sons being taken because there's a debt to be paid. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus Christ paid that sin debt that you and I could not pay for? God sent his only begotten son to pay the sin debt for us because God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. What shall I do for thee? The man of God asked this woman in verse number 2. Tell me, he says, what hast thou in the house? He says, what shall I do for thee? And then tell me, what do you have in the house? He wants to know, you know, what do you have? What is it that you have that God can use? But I want you to notice what she says. And she said, thine handmaid hath nothing in the house. Now, there's something after that, but first she says, I don't have anything. Save a pot of oil. I mean, I just have a pot of oil. It's insignificant. I don't have anything. You know, sometimes children will say, you know, there's nothing to eat in the house. The cupboards are full. There's food in the refrigerator. What they mean when they say there's nothing to eat, they mean there's no cake, there's no chips, there's no soda, there's no gummy bears. I mean, you know, the junk food. That's what they mean when they say there's nothing to eat. Oh, there's food to eat. It's just not what they want. Sometimes in our life, we think we have nothing when we have something. She had a pot of oil. And in the Bible, oil is used for different things. Oil is used for anointing a body in a tomb. Oil is used for baking bread. Oil was used for anointing somebody for a position. As David, as a young boy, was anointed to be the next king of Israel when Samuel came and poured oil on his head to signify that God was anointing him. God's spirit was coming upon David, that he was being chosen. You know, the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have anything. You know what? If you have the Holy Spirit of God, you have something. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we tell God, I don't have anything, when we have something. Now, again, she's asked the question, what hast thou in the house? She says, I have nothing in the house save a pot of oil. So we see her dilemma, and then we also see her direction, what the man of God tells her to do, because he finds out she has a pot of oil. Look at verse number 3. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. So as soon as he finds out that, okay, you say you have nothing, but you have a pot of oil, I want you to go to all your neighbors and borrow vessels. Ask for vessels. Not just a few, just get as many as you can get. Because oil was very valuable. Oil was very valuable. Again, it was used for many different purposes, and it had value to it. And it might have been, we don't know, but the pot of oil she had, it could have been the oil that she was saving for her own burial. We don't know. Again, the oil is used for many different things, but she had something, and it was going to transform her life, and it was going to help her. The Holy Spirit of God in your life has been given to you and me to help us. We're never left alone. We're never without power, because it's the Holy Spirit of God in us that helps us in the victories that we gain in this world. Again, we talked this morning about victory in this world, and our victory comes through Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God in us reminds us that, you know what, we can go to God. When everyone else has failed us, when no one cares for me, I know that God cares. I know that God is there. And I know that I'm not going to wake God up at 2:00 in the morning because he never sleeps. I can call upon him, and he already has the answer,
because he already knew the dilemma that was going to come into my life way before I was even born. And he's already prepared a solution. He's already prepared a deliverance out of my dilemma. Again, she says, I have nothing save a pot of oil, and she's told to go and to borrow as many vessels as possible. I want you to think about this in John 14 as we just think about the Holy Spirit and what Jesus says in John 14, verse 16 through 18. And I, Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. How many of you have been in a situation where you needed to be comforted? And you felt the comfort of God. You felt the arms of God wrap around you. And you just felt the peace of God. Because, you know, when you're facing a dilemma that's out of your control, what happens to us when life is out of control? Because we like to be in control. Who doesn't like to be in control of their life? Who doesn't like to be in control of circumstances? But when something arises in our life that's out of our control, there's nothing we can do. Basically, our hands are tied behind our back. We feel helpless. And at times, we may feel like we have no hope. We don't know what to do. But yet, we call upon the Lord. We take our dilemma to the Lord. And he already has a way of escape. He has a deliverance. He has an answer for us. But we have that comforter within us. Again, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And that's what the Lord says, I will come to you. The Lord Jesus Christ is always with you. Again, when you think about verse 3 and 4, he tells her to go and borrow vessels, borrow not a few. And then verse 4, he says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. You notice what the man of God tells her to do? The easy part is going and borrowing vessels. That's the easy part. Going from neighbor to neighbor, say, hey, can I borrow a vessel? Can I borrow a pot from you? Can I borrow some type of container? She goes, she gathers these up along with her sons. And has them all in her house. All these empty vessels are there. Is this not on?
I switched it over here.
Okay. All right. She went and borrowed all these vessels. She's got them all in her house. They're all empty. But the man of God tells her that as soon as you get the vessels, I want you to take your little pot of oil and fill up the other vessels. What? You got to be kidding, right? I mean, that would be like me taking this bottled water and going and filling up those three vessels over there, filling up this one. Filling up this one over here. I mean, just all the vessels, just taking my little bottle and just pour. Okay. What's the human tendency to do? What would we do? Okay, I'll just put a drop in each one so every vessel has a drop, right? But that's not what he says. He says, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when you think about that, it takes faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. I don't see how I can fill up all these vessels with my little pot of oil. But you know what? She obeys. She obeys by faith. She's trusting the word of God that says, fill up the vessels. That's just impossible. How in the world can you do that? Well, if you go to the New Testament, you see where 4,000 men are gathered around Jesus. They're hungry, and Jesus asks his disciples, what do you have to give them? Oh, we got a few fish, a couple loaves of bread. Well, what's that among so many? How's that going to feed 4,000 men? And Jesus says, give it to me. And you read the scriptures, he blesses it, he prays over it. He thanks the Heavenly Father for the provision. He breaks the bread, gives it to the 12 disciples, and they're supposed to go out and pass it out. Now, can you imagine those 12 men having some bread, and they're supposed to go among 4,000? I'm sure there's a little hesitancy, but nonetheless, the master's watching, so I'm going to do what he said because I want to look good in front of the master. But I'm thinking, this isn't going to work. But you know the account as you're reading scripture, and as they pass it out, all 4,000 men, and then the next time 5,000 men, they're all fed. And not just a little, they're fed so much there's leftovers. And Jesus tells his disciples to go. Listen, when you read through scripture, it's impossible. But nothing's impossible with God, is it? God is the God of the impossibility. That's why she comes to the man of God, she comes to the representative of God and says, this is my dilemma. And he says, what do you have? I have nothing but this little pot of oil. Okay, go get some vessels. Get as many as you can. He doesn't tell her to get 20, get 30. He says, get as many as you can. And then I want you to go in your house, shut the door, just you and your sons, and your little pot of oil, I want you to start pouring into all those vessels. Now, when you read on, obviously she had to obey by faith. And this is the key for you and me. If we want to see God working in our life, if we want to see God answering a prayer, if we want to see God blessing, we have to obey by faith what he says. She had to obey. She had to go get the vessels, and she had to go into her house, and she had to trust that what was said would happen. Philippians 4:19 tells us, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God says to you this morning, what shall I do for thee? What is it in your life that you need help with? What is it that you need turned around? What is it that you need to be filled up? He says, whatever your need is, call upon me, and I will show thee great and mighty things. Having faith in God's ability, she believed that God could do it. She did exactly what she was told to do. And notice what verse number 5 says. So she went from him, from the man of God, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She obeyed by faith. She put her faith in action. It's one thing to say, I believe God can. It's another thing to act upon that faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for. She's hoping this works out. She's hoping that God comes through. She took her dilemma to the man of God who told her what to do, and now she's hoping. She's acting in faith. She's obeying in faith. And again, the Bible says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see the outcome yet. I don't see the answer yet, but I'm trusting by faith. I'm going to act in faith and do what God says because I know that there's nothing that God cannot do. God's not limited. When you read in the Bible, you see all the miracles that God did because he is the God of creation. He is the God of eternity. He's the God of life. He is the God, the one and only true living God. He can control nature. He can control storms. He can allow the sun to arise. He can allow the weather to warm up. He can multiply fishes. Remember that one account where Peter and his buddies, they've been fishing all night. Jesus comes and he says, have you caught anything? They said, nothing. Now these are grown men, experienced fishermen. That is their occupation. That's their livelihood. They know how to fish on the Sea of Galilee, but they fished all night. They caught nothing. And Jesus says, cast your net on the right side. Cast your net on the other side. How do you feel when you've tried something and someone tells you to try it again? Usually you're like, it's not going to work. I'm not going to try it again. And you might even argue with the person, I've done it 100 times. I'm not doing it again. But you're reading the Bible, Peter, he says, okay. We'll let down the net. Jesus says, let down your nets. But Peter says, we'll let down the net. And as soon as they did, the Bible records that the net was full of fish, so much that they needed their buddies in the other ships to come and help them. What I'm saying is, don't limit God in your life. What shall I do for thee? What is it that you need in your life? God can provide. And God provides for this widow woman who is trying to save her two sons from being taken away from her. Because if her sons are taken, then she has no body. She has no body. She already doesn't have a husband. She doesn't want to lose her two sons. But again, her faith is put into action. She obeys by faith. In James chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Because what I'm doing, I'm trusting God to help me. I'm trusting God to provide the end result. Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. Many people believe that there is a God. Many will say, I believe in the man upstairs, I believe in a higher power. But as the Bible says, thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils believe also and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You can't have faith without works. Now, works doesn't save you. Works will not get you into heaven. But what he's saying is, if you believe that God can, then you will live like he will. This woman, again, trusted the word. Go and gather the vessels, and then I want you to take your little pot of oil and pour out into all the vessels that you have. And she does, and notice that when she did, she asked her sons to bring her more. So she went, verse 5, she went forth, she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Verse 6, it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. She needed more because her pot of oil still had, her little pot still had oil in it, and the vessels she had were all full. And she says, bring me another vessel. And her son said, there's no more. There's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, meaning it remained. She had all the vessels that she had, whatever number that was, all filled up. They were full. Her little pot of oil was still full. You think that's impossible? There's no way. With humans, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. You know what? I'm sure you have testimonies like I do of how God's provided, where there seemed to be no way. That's what makes our faith different from religion. We're not serving religion. Religion is all about works. But a relationship with Christ, that's all about the person who gave us our life. It's all about trusting the one who allows our heart to keep beating and the blood to keep pumping. The one who allows us to wake up every day, even this morning. The one who guides our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The one who loves us. His love was manifested at Calvary. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. And we know he loves us because of his son, Jesus Christ. And we know that we can bring our dilemmas to him, and he has the answer. But he may ask us to do something. Because I know, like with my children, we give them things to do. And we will reward them if they do it. If they clean their room, if sometimes, you know, if they're babysitting, whatever it may be. If you just gave and gave and gave all the time, the one that is getting it but not doing anything for it, they don't regard it. They come to expect it. But when you think about your relationship with the Lord, when you think about all that he's done for you, and you think about, you know what? I know that my God can provide. I know that he can do exactly what this woman needed to be done. She needed God to intervene in her life, to save her sons, to provide for her, because she has no income now. She has this debt that she can't pay off. And you know what? I can attest to this, that I've had debt in my life, and God has shown us how to get out of debt. didn't take the debt away, but showed us how to get out of it, how to have our money to be able to put someone there just time and time and just take care of it. God is not always going to take the problem away. He wants to help us to work through the problem. Praise the Lord. He took the sin debt away. You don't have to work for salvation. But there's things in life where he wants us to really put our feet to the road. He wants us to really put our faith in action. Do you believe I can do this? Again, with the disciples needing to feed 4,000, 5,000 men, Jesus could have just had the food up here in front of every single man and it be done. But then the faith of the disciples, and you and I being a disciple of Christ, their faith needed to grow. They needed to see that Christ can provide every need that we have. And this woman did exactly what the Lord had told her, what the word of the Lord had told her to do, and the vessels were full. Jeremiah 32:17 reminds us, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." If God can create the heavens and the earth and keep it all in rotation and keep the four seasons come in, have the sun rise in the morning, set in the evening. If God keeps all this going, then certainly there's nothing too hard for him to accomplish in our life. There's nothing that he cannot do for you and for me. But it takes obedience and faith. It takes us believing that he can and that he will, because we are his people. I'm a child of the King, and by his riches through Jesus Christ, he will provide for me. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Do you believe that God is able? Do you believe that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Do you believe that God can provide and do anything that you need? Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." Remember, you have an enemy that wants to destroy your faith in God. He doesn't want you to trust in the Lord. Now, he doesn't want anyone to come to salvation through Christ. He wants to steal that from people. Once saved, always saved. You can't lose it because you did nothing for it except trust the finished work of Christ at Calvary. But the second part of that verse that I love, Jesus says, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." Yes, eternal life through Jesus Christ. But like I've said before, the life you're living now, he wants you to have a more abundant life. He wants you to experience the blessings of God. He wants you to experience the goodness of God. He wants you and I to understand that there is nothing that God cannot do in your life. There's nothing that he cannot give you victory over. There's nothing that he cannot protect you from. And right off the bat, we have something in our mind that comes up and says, "Yeah, but this happened. I asked God to protect me and this happened. God allowed this situation in my life, so you know what? God can't do everything." Again, when you read through Scripture, you see that sometimes God allows the thorn in our life to remain so that his strength will be made perfect in my weakness. There's nothing God cannot do, but sometimes he does allow us to go through those difficulties so that we will lean more upon him and not upon our own understandings, that we will trust in the Lord, because he is directing our path. He's directing your life. He is in control of your life, and he wants to bless you in a great way. Jeremiah says it this way, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God has blessings in store for you and for me. And there are times where we have to put our faith in action. If you've trusted the Lord for salvation, you can trust him for the next day, whatever the next day may hold for you. Whatever it is you may be facing right now, whatever difficulties you may be facing right now in your life, God can help you through that. He may not necessarily remove the difficulty, but he most certainly will show his power in that difficulty and give you the strength to go through that storm so that you will see that even in the midst of a storm, there can be calmness because it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's walking with you. What shall I do for thee? The Lord asks. If you go ahead and stand, let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you. The Lord, we know the answer to that. What shall I do for thee? But Lord, would you help us? You know that there are times in our life where we do struggle. And Father, we want to try to be strong Christians. And we want to be faithful. But Lord, we're still human. And Father, we still have our shortcomings. We still have doubt at different times. And we have a weakness, Father, that we don't want people to see. But Lord, you see it. And you know it. And you simply say, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Father, thank you that we can cast our burden upon you because you're the burden bearer. Father, I ask that you would help us to be honest with you. Thank you, Father, that you're so faithful to us, Lord. You never deny us, Lord. You never turn your back on us because we fail. But, Lord, you're there to lift us up. You're there to help us. Father, I ask that you would continue to speak to our hearts. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer.